Tuesday edition of the Hagman Report. See, I almost forgot the day there. Today's the 15th day of August, 2017. We're already halfway through August. Summer is disappearing, and that's...
Can I ask you something, Joe?
Sure.
And our vast studio audience out there, we got Tech Eric in the spaceship seat, and, of course, John, our producer over here. But I'm serious, and I'll ask you, the audience, this. I just find myself constantly amazed. I mean, I have a routine, and I'm not going to get into it, but I except to say this. I get up in the morning at my house, and I'll walk my dog, or I'll let my dog outside, and we've got this really kind of a nice area where my dog and I spend some time in contemplation and watching the sunrise. And you can watch the sun move, you know, in the sky, and you can tell that summer is waning. But my question to you guys, doesn't it feel like time is just racing well beyond anything that you've experienced in the past? I know they say the older you get, the time, you know, the faster time goes. I get that. But man, I think it's almost like there's a time compression going on. That's just what I think. But anyway, so that was my question to Joe, who is, we're getting some feedback, so he's trying to resolve that issue. Yeah, it just seems like time is acting kind of funky there. Nonetheless, coming up is Brandon House and worldviewweekend.com, but to talk about a very specific issue, one that should be important to all of us. And this has got national security implications, and he's got the backstory to those national security implications, and so you're going to need to listen to this. This is a critical hour about very contemporaneous issues that affect our national security. He's got some information, direct information on this. Brandon House, you're familiar with him and by a number of other issues, but this is extremely important. But having said that, Joe, I also want to mention, if you haven't done so already, please, 9 to 10, Doug Hagman radio show. 2 to 3, Joe and John Robertson. You can listen to them and listen to us. We've expanded our programming to 5 hours per day. That's why about 9 o'clock on a Friday night, I'm going beep, 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 beep. Anyway, Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Our guest with us is Brandon House, worldviewweekend.com. Brandon's a frequent guest on the show. And he's the host of his own show as well. And we got a lot we're going to get into tonight. Brandon, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
Great to be with you guys. Thank you.
I love it. Every time you come on, you always got a different background going on. And I like the monitors there. It looks really, yeah, really sharp.
Eric, pay attention to this. Yeah. Eric, the tech. Okay.
We're in the TV studio. This is our TV studio. Sometimes I'm in my office. Sometimes I'm in the living room. Sometimes I'm up here. Tonight I'm up here.
Gotcha. Well, it looks great. It looks great.
Thanks.
Well, let's jump right in. Brandon, why is it being reported that H.R. McMaster has fired National Security Council staffer Rich Higgins?
Well, this is a very important story, and the reason it looks like he's been fired is because he actually wrote a 6.5-page memo that I have right here to the President of the United States, telling him what is the great threat to the United States as well as to his presidency. I was in my recliner the other night trying to recover from a slipped disc. I broke my back in 1999 and occasionally will do something very, very simple and slip a disc. I can do heavy lifting and nothing happens. Bend over to take a Frisbee out of my dog's mouth and my back goes out, the bulging disc. And I was in my recliner working and an email came in from a friend of mine who's heavily tied to the intelligence community. And it was this 6.5-page memo. And the next morning it was on Breitbart. And when I read the memo, I was absolutely shocked. And the reason why is I'm not sure a president has ever been briefed with so much truth related to the big picture of what's happening in the country and how we got where we are and where we're going. But what also shocked me is I almost had to wonder if this man, Rich Higgins, did not read my book that I wrote and was researching in 2006 and 7 and 8, wrote it mostly in 2008, and it is my book, Grave Influence. Now, I'm assuming he didn't read the book. Let's assume he didn't, because I have no proof he did it. But if he didn't read my book, it sounds like he did. And this book, again, was written in 2000, 8, researched in 2007 and 8, written in 2008. It's one of my bestsellers. It's a hardcover, Grave Influence, 21 Radicals and Their Worldviews That Rule America from the Grave. And as I read through this memo, he's warning of the very things I warned about in this book, which, by the way, is part of a trilogy. It was first Grave Influence, then Religious Trojan Horse, and then The Coming Religious Reich. So this is the first of a trilogy saying, how did we get here? Who are the people that have influenced the country, and what are they doing? Well, in this memo, guys, he lays out the names that I talk about in whole chapters in the book Grave Influence. He talks about cultural Marxism that came from the Frankfurt School. He talks about the globalists, the corporatists, the internationalists, the statists. He actually uses the word Fabian socialism. That's not something a lot of people go around talking about, and certainly probably don't brief the President of the United States on. I wrote extensively about Fabian socialism in Grave Influence and the coming and in Religious Trojan Horse. He goes on to talk about the Frankfurt School. Now, we can get into what all this means, and your listeners are going to start their jaws are going to start dropping on the floor here in a minute, because they're going to start to understand, if they don't already, how we got here, where we're going. But here's a guy trying to warn the President. He also talked about the imposing dialectic, or the Hegelian dialectic process. And then he went on to talk about Herbert Marcuse of the Frankfurt School, as well as the urbanization of America. Why is it there's a war on farmers? Why is it there's a war on private property? And why is there the goal to move most Americans into an urban regions so they can be closely controlled, part of sustainable development, Agenda 21 from the United Nations, furthered by all parties. In fact, he gets into that in his memo, the deep state, the Republican establishment, and the Democrats and the globalists and the bankers, the internationalists are all working together. Now, I've been writing about these things and speaking about these things since the early 90s. Started out with being the education reporter for the Michael Reagan Show, Ronald Reagan's oldest son, his lyric agent, frequent guest host. And I can tell you, I've been accused of a lot of things over the years that include being a conspiratorist into conspiratorial theories or conspiracy theories. No. You know what? Let me just say to some of the people in, quote, ministry and some of these pastors, many of who are not pastors, they're hirelings, and some of these other so-called Christians, these fake Christians, these goats, these tares among the wheat, that attack Christian ministries who are trying to actually tell them what's going on so they have a comprehensive biblical worldview, the things that they've been saying are conspiracy theories and mocking us over, in a 6.5-page report now given to the President of the United States that he reportedly read and actually thought was very, very good, that he was quite excited about what he read, that he was quite positive about it, and was happy to have gotten the report. But supposedly, the head of the National Security Council, McMaster, R.H. McMaster, was furious, and according to a Breitbart reporter, detonated. But McMaster allegedly detonated, and he was furious over the report. And again, it is reported the President of the United States did get a copy of it, he did read it, and he likes what he read.
Okay. Brandon, what's the backstory to H.R. McMaster and his position in Islam and his relationship, if any, with Islamic
specific
organizations? Because I did not know about this.
Yeah,
and I could do a lot on him, but I'll just give you the overall sketch. But a lot of people believe he's way too closely tied to some of the Islamic groups, Muslim Brotherhood and others. But let me just quote Breitbart in their article. Sources say they were also dedicated to the President's agenda, meaning to people that were let go. He's not only fired Higgins, but he fired two other people. McMaster's, which disagrees with the President on numerous issues, including the Iran deal, Afghanistan, and whether there's such a thing as, quote, radical Islam. Well, you know what? McMaster would be in good company with a lot of the hirelings and fake Christians that go around telling us that. One guy this week, a so-called minister, said that Islam does not pose a spiritual threat to the church. Maybe a physical threat, but no spiritual threat. It's amazing to me that people who are in Christian ministry and even pastors, so-called pastors, because there are a lot of great pastors who do get it. One of them is my friend, former Muslim, now Christian pastor, Sharam Hadian, who's warning. So there are a lot of pastors in America, I should say a lot. There's a number of pastors in America that get it, and I'm thankful for them. There's a lot of them that don't get it, and many of them are hirelings. And there are others that are in ministry that have bought into a theology that is really, I think, in many ways made them so spiritually minded that they're not understanding the other side of the coin, which is not only God's sovereignty, but the other side, man's responsibility. And so they go about saying Islam is no threat to the church or no spiritual threat to the church. Well, we also have people now in religious circles saying these kind of things. We have people in the high places of government, like McMaster at the National Security Council, saying to the president, and according to this report, that radical Islam may not even exist.
Wow, okay. In his memo, Mr. Higgins warned the president of the U.S. about numerous threats to the country and his presidency. If we could go through some of these threats and what they are, and please let us know why would he warn the president about cultural Marxism and some of the other things he did?
Yeah, cultural Marxism. Your audience knows maybe the term. You got a smart audience, so they probably know the term. But if they don't, they do know the term that's masking cultural Marxism, and that's called political correctness. We've known it since 1933 as cultural Marxism, or as political correctness. It's really cultural Marxism. A lot of people probably think political correctness came about in the 1980s. No, it came to America in about 1933, but they couldn't call it what it really is, cultural Marxism, so they called it political correctness. And political correctness hides many things: multiculturalism, tolerance, feminism, diversity, and we can define those terms, white privilege. But this all started by a group of intellectuals in Germany. And some of them were of Jewish persuasion. And when Hitler came to full power in 1933, they decided it was time to get out of America. Out of Germany and come to America. But in 1923, they started what was known as what we call the Frankfurt School. It was really supposed to be a Marxist institution. And they really actually were very blunt about their neo-Marxism or their Marxism. But they knew they couldn't use that phrase. So they came up with a clever sounding phrase. We called it the Frankfurt School. That's what Mr. Higgins called it in his report to the President of the United States in May of this year, the Frankfurt School. And he then went on to say cultural Marxism is the threat to America. Well, cultural Marxism is what the Frankfurt School brought to America in 1933. They were brought here by the help of John Dewey, the father of modern education in America. He helped start the Social Society of America. He helped start the American Civil Liberties Union. He signed the Humanist Manifesto. This is John Dewey. And he had a man in his early 20s that was his right-hand man that helped drop these German intellectuals down in America to have a revolution. And they were dropped down at Brandeis and Berkeley and all over the country because they said, we're going to go after two institutions, media and education. Media and education. And the young man in his early 20s that helped drop these people down at these institutions, helping John Dewey, was none other than a man by the name of Edward R. Murrow. Now, most Americans know he was a CBS broadcaster on radio and later television. He went on to become probably most famous for doing his best to destroy a U.S. senator from Wisconsin by the name of Joseph McCarthy, who was warning about the communists and the neo-Marxists in education and media trying to have a revolution in America. And he was marginalized and he was characterized and the media destroyed him. And of course, Edward R. Murrow helped do it. Well, of course he would. Edward R. Murrow, as a young man, helped John Dewey bring these people to America, known as the Frankfurt School, who brought us cultural Marxism, which we call political correctness. And what their goal is to change the values of Americans. And they openly said their goal was a couple things. The destruction of Christianity. Openly. The destruction of Christianity. And then the destruction of a patriarchal society, a male society, and replacing it with a matriarchal society. So destroying a patriarchal society, a male-led, where the man defends the family, provides for the family, and replace it with a matriarchal society. And then eventually, they said their goal was the destruction of all gender. No masculinity, no femininity, only a general humanness. Does that sound like what's going on today, as you have, 50-some-odd or more genders today?
Yeah.
And so I can tell you a little bit more how this happened. But that was their goal. And then I can tell you also who helped influence these people, as well as tell you who some of their leading people were whose names you might recognize.
Well, okay. And Brandon, I think we are going to, compliments of, and thanks to Global Star Network for, allowing us to skip the bottom of the hour break. I believe that to be the case.
So, you gotta make money.
What's that?
You gotta make money. You guys are capitalists. Every time I come on the show, you don't have breaks.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. The information you're providing is so important and so relevant. And you mentioned cultural Marxism. And I don't think people have a really good understanding about the, about Dewey and the education system and the cultural Marxism that is being infused, has been infused in today's society. This utopian communist road to hell that we're on and that the left, of course, is attempting to force upon us. But, so all of this is so extremely important. And we're seeing this as well, with the H.R. McMaster situation, his position on Islam, his position, and Mr. Hagan's warning the President of the United States about the numerous threats. So all of this, you're painting this picture, you're filling in this intricate mosaic, and I think that this will give people a window into what's taking place today. And by the way, I just want to say this to people listening. I said this morning on my morning show. I believe it was this morning or yesterday morning. The fact that Joe McCarthy was correct, and do not believe, anyone listening to this program who uses McCarthy as a verb or a McCarthyism, who says McCarthyism, do not do that. McCarthy was absolutely 100% correct. That's not a pejorative term. Or shouldn't be. McCarthy was correct about the communist infiltration. Now we're seeing the red-green axis, as you pointed out, Brandon. And of course, now in this situation, it is critical. So, but
in this report, Mr. Higgins goes on to warn about the Marxists and the Muslims over and over and how they're working together. And I and you guys and several other people that get it have been warning about the Marxist-Muslim coalition for a long time. And of course, I believe from a biblical perspective, a prophetic perspective, Ezekiel 38:39 tells us this Muslim-Marxist coalition will eventually grow and they will move against Israel. It'll be all over the world seen. But this Marxist-Muslim coalition is exactly what Mr. Higgins is trying to warn the President of the United States about in this memo. You know, a lot of our listeners probably don't know the name Herbert Marcuse. The name was mentioned in this document, 6.5-page document, by Mr. Higgins, who, by the way, Mr. Higgins has a history of, it says here at Breitbart, he's a former Army explosives specialist, Justice Department consultant, Pentagon official, and also had taught as a professor at the National War College, according to the Daily Caller interview last year. So he is a pretty educated guy, and he is warning about a fellow by the name of Herbert Marcuse in this report. Well, Herbert Marcuse is one of the guys I warn about in my book, written again in 2008, and here we are 2017, and these are the same people, the same ideas, the same philosophies that he's warning about in 2017 that I was warning about in whole chapters in the book, Grave Influence, Herbert Marcuse being one of them. Now, your audience may not know who he is, but they know this phrase that he coined, make love, not war. They all know that phrase, make love, not war. That's Herbert Marcuse. He was with the Frankfurt School, again, mentioned by him, also whole chapter in my book, Grave Influence. He was with the Frankfurt School. He coined the phrase, make love, not war. He was a consultant, if you will. He discipled many of the radical students of the 1960s. And he openly said, one can rightfully speak of a cultural revolution, since the protest is directed toward the whole cultural establishment, including the morality of existing society. So you got to destroy the morality of a society. There is one thing we can say with complete assurance, that the traditional idea of revolution and the traditional strategy of revolution has ended. These ideas are old-fashioned. He says we must undertake what is a new type of diffused and dispersed disintegration of the system, and a diffused and dispersed disintegration of the system. That is what's going on. That is what we heard Obama say. He's going to fundamentally transform America. Well, a diffused and dispersed disintegration of the system is a fundamental transformation of the system. And where did he learn it? Obama. He learned it from being a community organizer and studying Saul Alinsky and then teaching Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky studied someone by the name of Antonio Gramsci. Antonio Gramsci is mentioned in a 6.5-page document by Mr. Higgins to the President of the United States. Antonio Gramsci is talked about by me in my book in 2008. Antonio Gramsci was a communist in Italy, and he told Mussolini that if you want a revolution that will last, you can't do it at the end of the gun. You've got to change their mind or their worldview so they embrace their slavery. And Mussolini didn't like this and threw him in prison, where he wrote many documents, many, many pages. And Saul Alinsky and others went on to study this. And, of course, Obama went on to study Saul Alinsky. Hillary Clinton studied Saul Alinsky. Hillary Clinton wrote her thesis on him at Wesley. Hillary Clinton met him, knew him. He wanted her to come work for him. She decided to go to Capitol Hill.
She interned with him for a while, is my understanding, I believe.
I think she did.
Yeah.
I think she did. So Herbert Marcuse, had with the Frankfurt School, who's mentioned in this report to the president, was studying Antonio Gramsci, who's mentioned in this report, and this all goes to the Frankfurt School. Now, again, notice that Herbert Marcuse said there's a diffused and dispersed disintegration of the system, not at the end of the gun. Revolution is old-fashioned that way. Now it's a destruction of the system. Well, then you bring in the clobbered pivot strategy of the husband and wife team from Colombia, who years ago wrote about this, that if we can overwhelm the social welfare system, and they tried it in New York first about bankruptcy of New York, get so many people in the welfare system, it collapses the system, and then you have to roll into nationalizing things, which is one of the goals of Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto, Marxism. And so that is known as the clobbered pivot strategy. He died, she's still alive, and she wrote after President Obama became president-elect that now he needs a protest movement. And the protest movement is meant to scare the living daylights out of politicians and out of the citizenry so that they will finally say, I'm tired of the violence. I'm tired of seeing people pulled out of their cars and having their brains beat in at intersections because they're wearing a Make America Great hat again, or they're wearing a shirt with American flag on it. Now you have schools that won't let kids wear American flag shirts or jackets or T-shirts, and people are being sucker punched. There's games now where people literally sucker punch people, cold cock them. A lot of it now is racially motivated. And people finally say, I'm tired of this. And I want safety and security. And so you have to have a protest movement that ends up coming behind and scaring the daylights out of the people. The people then demand their politicians do something, and now you're on your way to a cultural Marxism that rolls into more than cultural. Now it's actual economic philosophies being put into place. But the goal was eventually to destroy the American male, as I said. Feminism, not equal rights for women. Feminization of the American male. It is a denigration of the father of masculinity, multiculturalism, not the study of multiple cultures, but a denigration of foundational Western worldview. It included things like tolerance education, which is opposed to anything that is about absolute truth. If you proclaim something from an absolute standpoint, you're now being intolerant. So tolerance education is really against Christianity. Ultimately, a worldview that is based on absolute truth. And then it includes things like white privilege, which are really masking terms for being anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-capitalist, anti-family. This is what is white privilege. And we have many educators being taught in white privilege today. But again, that's a masking term. And I will tell you what's really sad. Some of the leading so-called reformed pastors in America, like Matt Chandler and people like John Piper, are pushing things like white privilege, Black Lives Matter, and other things. And I have all the documentation. And people will be shocked at some so-called conservative theological pastors that are going to events and hanging out with people like John Piper and Matt Chandler. Now, those names may not mean anything to you, but it's to say, this, again, is not just being embraced by the liberal mainline churches or the social justice churches or the Rick Warren-type seeker-sensitive mega churches or Bill Hybels seeker churches. This is also coming now from the conservative reformed arena, some of the same yahoos now, not wanting to condemn in strong terms interfaith dialogue with jihadi imams. They're now some of the same people on this conservative, so-called conservative right side, now pushing white privilege and this whole idea of Black Lives Matter. So this whole cultural Marxism has been very successful and has even penetrated the ministries and churches, which is why my follow-up to Grave Influence was religious Trojan Horse.
Wow. You said a whole lot there, Brandon. And, going into the Frankfurt School and what their goals were.
Can you tell us more about that? I mean, yeah. I know you said a mouthful there, but go ahead.
Well, the Frankfurt School, as I said, started in Germany in 1923, came to America in 1933 with the help of John Dewey. To really understand them, you have to understand who influenced them. They really have four guys that they followed, and that would be Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, Friedrich Nietzsche, and George Hegel. Let me start out with, again, the Frankfurt School, what their whole idea was. Their whole goal was Christianity and capitalism is really the source of all suffering and oppression. Sound familiar? That's the Frankfurt School. They came to America, said we'll go after education and media, we'll attack the family, we'll attack the father, a patriarchal society, we'll replace it with a matriarchal society, we'll grow the welfare state, we'll grow the size of government, we'll change people's worldview and values, then they'll be ready, after they've been propagandized, brainwashed, they'll be ready to embrace outright Marxism, particularly when the system just absolutely collapses and they're starving and there's societal unrest. So they said, the Frankfurt School, Christianity and capitalism is the source of all suffering and oppression. But these guys went on to follow people like, as I said, the list of four guys. Freud, let's start with him, Sigmund Freud. Well, what did he say? He said, among these instinctual wishes are those of incest, cannibalism, and the lust for killing. Now, that's Sigmund Freud. What was he saying? Those who are normal have these instinctual wishes of incest, cannibalism, and the lust for killing. Those are the normal people, says Sigmund Freud. I have a whole chapter in the book, Grave Influence, on it. And he said the people who are not well, who are mentally ill, are those who suppress their natural instinctual wishes, i.e. Christians. So Sigmund Freud went on to say the crazy people are the Christians and the truly sane people are what we would now today call insane. In fact, in his book, The Future of Illusion, he described his absolutely negative attitude toward religion in every form and in every delusion. And what we have today, of course, is what? You have documents coming out of the Department of Homeland Security a few years ago saying the people we have to worry about are the veterans, the pro-lifers, those interested in Bible prophecy, the Christians. Those are the extremists. And quite frankly, it fits with what Dr. Pierce of Harvard said back in the 1970s. Dr. Pierce of Harvard said every child who enters school at the age of 5 is mentally ill. Now, why would a child at 5 be mentally ill? He said because he enters school with an allegiance toward our elected officials, our founding fathers, our institutions, the preservation of this form of government that we have. He talked about patriotism, nationalism, sovereignty that the child believes in. And he said all this proves that these children are sick. Because a truly well individual is one who has rejected all of those things and is what he would call the true international child of the future. Now, that is where we're at today. That's Sigmund Freud. They were also influenced by Karl Marx. Karl Marx said, quote, my object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. That's Karl Marx. The third guy they were influenced by was a guy named Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, Friedrich Nietzsche is most known for saying God is dead. By the way, Friedrich Nietzsche and this other guy, they are two of the most read authors on college campus today. The French philosopher, his name will come to me in a minute when my hard drive catches up, but Friedrich Nietzsche and this other guy, French philosopher, these are two of the most read authors on college campus today. Friedrich Nietzsche. Now think about that. Who is Friedrich Nietzsche then if he's one of the most read authors on college campus today? He's, by the way, the father of postmodern thought. Postmodernism says truth and reality are created by man, not by God. Truth is subjective. Your truth is your truth. Mine is mine. Everybody can believe what they want. Friedrich Nietzsche said God is dead. Friedrich Nietzsche also said we can smell his rotting corpse. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote many books. His last book was called The Antichrist. He used to sign his book, Friedrich Nietzsche, The Antichrist. Sometimes he just signed it, The Antichrist. But he wrote, quote, I call Christianity the one great curse, the one enormous and innermost perversion, the one moral blemish of mankind. What? Christianity. You're noticing a theme here? Freud says Christians are crazy. Karl Marx says my goal and objective in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. And Friedrich Nietzsche says Christianity is the greatest blemish of all time. Now, by the way, who is it that loved to have his picture taken staring at a bust of Friedrich Nietzsche? Adolf Hitler.
Well, if I can interject something, Nietzsche had a mental breakdown. Ultimately, didn't he? Yes. He committed suicide, didn't he?
I don't know if he committed suicide, but he did. The last several years of his life, he was totally out of his mind.
Yeah, he was gonzo. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'd have to.
And then the guy they were influenced by is a guy named George Hegel. And Hegel came up with the idea, really, and promoted the idea that Marx also embraced, was idea of thesis and antithesis. Idea, opposite idea. It's known as the Hegelian dialectic process. Mentioned in the May 2017 paper, 6.5 pages, by Mr. Richard Higgins of the National Security Council, given to the President of the United States, that Breitbart reports President Trump loved, McMaster was furious, came unglued over it, fired the man, but he writes about the Hegelian dialectic process. I write about it extensively in Grave Influence in 2008. Again, I'm not going to toot my own horn here, but I'm just telling you. These are the threats I laid out in my book in 2008 as being the greatest threats to the country. These are the same threats laid out in this 6.5 page paper written in 2017. And the people that have ridiculed me for my research, such as this, have said, oh, House, he's into conspiracies. Well, put this in your pipe and smoke it, morons. The National Security Advisor Council member has just put this into 6.5 page letters, basically clip notes of this book. So if it's conspiracy, you now have someone from the Army War College, worked at the Justice Department, worked with the Pentagon, was at the National Security Council with high-level security clearances, now saying these are the great threats. But who's the one mocking us and saying these are conspiracy theories? These morons that run around that are within the evangelical establishment brainwashing Christians from listening to the truth. Why? Because they're educated beyond their intelligence. These are the intellectual simpletons. And I challenge them to come on my show, and they never will, because in 5 minutes I can explain to everyone, by their utter lack of ability to answer the basic questions of history, what utter fools they really are. And yet, my friends, who then has become a great threat to the country? The religious establishment in America, along with the Marxists and the Muslims, which is why my third book in this trilogy is entitled The Coming Religious Reich. Much of the religious establishment, even some on the right, are now laying the foundation for globalism and world government that, again, this man wrote about in this paper. And so George Hegel said thesis and antithesis, idea, opposite idea. Get them to fight with each other. That fits with what Saul Alinsky said. The change comes from the conflict. The change comes from the conflict. You want the right and the left to fight. You want the people groups. They call it races. There's only one race, the human race. Acts 17, verse 26, we're of one blood. But they want the, quote, races to fight. The change comes from the conflict. And you have Republican and Democrat, and they fight, fight, fight. And then they merge. And then you have a new thesis, and it's called the Hegelian dialectic process. It's also called the third way. And that's what we're doing today. Bill Clinton did it. He held conferences on the third way with Tony Blair at the Democratic Leadership Conference. George W. Bush was into third way. In fact, there was an article in the Washington Post, if I remember correctly, that talked about that by a guy named Don Eberle. Don Eberle admitted in the Washington Post, I think it was February 1st, Don Eberle admitted that George W. Bush was following communitarianism, or the third way. Socialism mixed with capitalism. So you have the socialist and the capitalist. They fight. Then you merge, and you have a new thesis, which is a mixture of socialism and capitalism for the third way. Communitarianism. Fabian socialism. By the way, Fabian socialism, mentioned in the report by Mr. Higgins, a whole chapter in my book on grave influence. Fabian socialism, communitarianism, whatever you want to call it, socialism mixed with capitalism. How do you get this? The two sides fight, and they finally say, well, let's come to agreement and mix a little bit of both, which is why the Republican Party and the Democrat Party is largely a scam. It's what even Carol Quigley, the globalist at Georgetown, who wrote Tragedy and Hope and mentored Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton gave him a shout-out in his first Democratic acceptance speech. He gave a shout-out to his former professor, Carol Quigley, who wrote Tragedy and Hope, who said that the whole right and left thing is a scam. There's only a few people who really are on those sides. You know, you have your few true conservative Republicans and your true hardcore Democrats, but the most of this is really a scam. They want the people to fight so they can then merge to a mixture of both, which is why you have jokers like McCain, who's a Republican, who really acts like a Democrat. And you got all these people like McCain and Schumer can work together, and then they merge bills together. As the right and the left fight, they can go nowhere. McCain and Schumer step forward, Republican and Democrat, and they say, ah, here we go. Here's a third way. What is it? Socialism mixed with capitalism. That's George Hegel, and that's what he warns about, the dialectic. But it doesn't only go on in education or in politics and public policy. It goes on in education, religion, and in economics.
Okay, Brandon, Higgins mentions that establishment Republicans are a threat. Can you get into that a little bit more? I know you just did with McCain, but we have the Never Trumpers, the Not My Presidents, the rhinos in there, the Paul Ryans, and then the quiet ones who are still against Trump quietly, stalling on things like legislation. What threat do the Republicans pose?
And I would argue they are a component of the deep state or the shadow government. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he warns about in this paper, is the deep state, and that these groups are working, conspiring together. I got a great quote by Fabian socialists. They remember he mentions Fabian socialism in his report, founded in London in the early 1800s or mid-1800s. But Julian Huxley was the first executive director of the United Nations Education Scientific Cultural Organization. He said this. He said, at the moment, two opposing philosophies of life confront each other. You may categorize the two philosophies as two supernationalisms, or as individualism versus collectivism, or as capitalism versus communism. He said, or as Christianity versus Marxism. He says, can these opposites be reconciled? This antithesis be resolved in a higher synthesis? He says, I believe not only that this can happen, but that through the inexorable dialectic of evolution, it will. In other words, it doesn't matter if we're talking capitalism versus communism, Christianity versus Marxism, you've got to merge them together and come up with a new thesis and an idea so you can keep moving the ball down the field. That's what the Republicans and the Democrats are doing. So whether it's Christianity versus Marxism, capitalism versus communism, Republicans versus Democrat, they must merge, get a new thesis, keep moving the ball down the field to the left. Now, when Trump started talking about some of these issues on his campaign, the deep state got very concerned, because now you have a man, if he will put into practice what he was saying, will destroy and expose them. And that's why they hate that he's on Twitter, because they can't filter his Twitter. And he is now exposing the fake news, the fake media. Because remember, the Frankfurt School said we're going after education and media. Education and media. Trump knows that the media is part of this deep state, Frankfurt School, cultural Marxist agenda.
Okay. Fabian socialism is also mentioned by Higgins in the memo. Can you define that for us?
Well, as I said earlier, it was founded in Europe in the mid-1800s, and the goal of Fabian socialism is probably best understood by going to a computer and typing in the Fabian window. It was designed in 1910, if I remember correctly, by George Bernard Shaw. And George Bernard Shaw was a famous Fabian. He also founded the Fabian Society with Beatrice Webb and Sidney Webb, among others. And in the Fabian window, designed in 1910, you see two people, a man in a red coat and a man in a green coat, banging on an earth, a hot globe, and it's on an anvil. And behind one of the men is a fire. And one of the men is holding the hot earth with a pair of tongs, and they're both banging on it with a hammer. This represents some kind of crisis, a global crisis. At the top of the window, it says, remold it nearer to the heart's desire. Again, designed by George Bernard Shaw in 1910. Above the globe is their Fabian logo, which is a wolf in sheep's clothing, which is why the follow-up to Grave Influence was religious Trojan horse and then the coming religious Reich. They will use religion to do this. Tony Blair is perhaps one of the most well-known Fabian socialists. Out of the Fabian Socialist Society was birthed the Labor Party. Tony Blair was prime minister from the Labor Party. By the way, that Fabian window at some point disappeared, was stolen, showed up at an auction, and several years ago it was unveiled. The keynote speaker who praised the Fabian Society and hoped that the Labor Party still embraced its values? Tony Blair. Tony Blair today runs the Tony Blair Faith Foundation, seeking to bring the religions of the world together as one. Tony Blair shows up at Rick Warren's church a few years ago, speaks for 90 minutes in a conversation with him, and receives an award. Tony Blair also spoke at a, quote, Christian Southern Baptist college in Jackson, Tennessee a few years ago, about an hour and a half from where I'm sitting now. That's a Southern Baptist college, Union University. And so ask yourself, why are so-called evangelicals embracing Tony Blair, who embraces Fabian socialism, who wants all the religions of the world together to come together as one, when Fabian socialism is really about the merging of socialism with capitalism? It would also be called, we would also refer to it today as Keynesian economics. This is this idea of debt. It's the idea of a fiat currency. It's the idea of inflating your currency, which today your dollar is worth about 3 or 4 cents compared to when the Federal Reserve was founded in 1913. So this is this idea of socialism by evolution, not revolution. That's what Fabians want. They want socialism by evolution, not revolution. You can call them a Fabian socialist, and they belong to the Fabian Socialist Society. If they don't belong to the Fabian Socialist Society, you would call them a communitarian. They're mixing socialism with capitalism. One communitarian was a man by the name of Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker went on to disciple, according to his own admission, Rick Warren. Rick Warren today promotes his three-legged stool of merging government, corporations, and the social sector to destroy the five global giants. And so he's really into the whole idea of turning all the faith centers around the world into some kind of distribution for the social justice, social gospel agenda. Where did he learn this? According to his own words, he learned it from Peter Drucker, an admitted communitarian. So this is Fabian socialism. It's communitarianism. They want socialism by evolution, not revolution, which fits very nicely with the Frankfurt School and Herbert Marcuse, who said the old way of revolution is old-fashioned. It's now a diffused and dispersed disintegration of the system from within.
And if I may, just go kind of tread backwards a little bit. You mentioned something, and of course, the gold standard, Nixon took us off the gold standard. It was actually August 15th, 1971, which would make that what? Today's the anniversary of that action.
Wow.
So isn't the timing a little bit more than interesting? And at the time, folks, I think it was a Sunday night when he came on. And at the time, the biggest complaint about that whole process was not about the action of the final severing of our fiat currency from the gold standard, but the fact that Bonanza was being interrupted, or Ponderosa.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love Bonanza.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. I mean, think of that. The timing is interesting as well.
That's the anniversary of that today.
Yeah, exactly. So,
in this report here to the president by the man that was fired for writing, and according to Breitbart, Higgins actually goes on to quote Herbert Marcuse, who, again, coined the phrase, make love, not war, was part of the Frankfurt School. In 1965, in a paper, Marcuse defined, this is reading right from the report to the president. In 1965, Marcuse defined tolerance as intolerance. So he said, hey, you want to push tolerance? Then it's really intolerance. Well, we've told you that for years. Tolerance is really, it's easier to define, if you're trying to define tolerance education, it's easier to define it this way. Anything that is intolerant is what they would call, bad. So if you're promoting something like absolute truth, John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, that's intolerant. So tolerance education is teaching you to hate Christians, hate Christianity, hate capitalism. This is the source of all suffering. Remember the Frankfurt School? Well, Herbert Marcuse said this, and this is given to the President of the United States in his memo. Herbert Marcuse said, quote, that this new tolerance, quote, would include the withdrawal of toleration of speech and assembly from groups and movements which promote aggressive policies, armament, chauvinism, discrimination on the grounds of race and religion, or which oppose the extension, meaning the continuation or growth, of public services, welfare, Social Security, and Medicare. In other words, Herbert Marcuse says in 65, written, and this again is being given to the President of the United States, this got him fired, I guess, Mr. Higgins, he's quoting the Frankfurt School guy, Herbert Marcuse, who says, if we really want tolerance, we have to be intolerant. We're going to be intolerant toward Christians. We're going to be intolerant toward conservatives. And we're going to take away their freedom of speech, their right to assemble. And anyone that is opposed to bigger government and redistribution of wealth falls into this category. By the way, what are the Marxists and Muslims doing right now? They're pushing hate crime laws. They're pushing blasphemy laws that would make it illegal and a crime, as is the case in Canada, to say certain things. Go up on the radio in Canada and talk about homosexuality in a politically incorrect way, you'll lose your license and go to jail. Go up there and talk about Islam, as one mayoral candidate recently did, and now, and all he did was report the truth about Islam, now he's being prosecuted. And Mr. Higgins gives this report to the president and says, the groups that are doing this together are the Marxists and the Muslims. He goes on to quote Herbert Marcuse, liberating tolerance then would mean intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. As to the scope of this tolerance and intolerance, it would extend to the stage of action as well as of a discussion and propaganda of deed as well as of word, end quote. So this is about, again, all-out war on free markets, free speech, freedom of religion, and capitalism, which would be your free markets. And what you have included in this whole political correctness, multiculturalism, tolerance, is this white privilege. That the source of all suffering is Christianity, it's the white people, it's the Europeans, this is the source of all suffering. And so the goal, again, by Karl Marx, my object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. They now just remake Marxism. They call it political correctness, white privilege, multiculturalism, feminism. And they're destroying not only the family, they've destroyed the educational system. They've destroyed our form of government. We don't really run as a constitutional republic anymore. And now they've destroyed our military by using all these social experiments. And quite frankly, the military today is in a post-communist state. And what I mean by that is, the communists in the 1930s, never in the 40s, never dreamed that they could accomplish what they have with the United States military. They never dreamed we would have transgenderism in the military and the government going along with it. They would never dreamed you would have women on submarines, women in combat, and yet all of these things that have occurred have gone beyond what the communists ever thought they could acquire. We are living in a post-communist military age. This has been the success of the Frankfurt School, Herbert Marcuse, and the many other systems that this man, Higgins, was warning about in his 6.5-page memo to the president in May of 2007 that I warned about in my book, Grave Influence, in 2008.
In 2017, in 2008, you beat him by nine years, right?
Yes.
As opposed
yes.
to do it right. All right. So at the epicenter, folks, this is important because we're talking about a national security issue here. National Security Advisor being bumped from his position based on a multi-page memo that mirrors the writings of Brandon House. And
I don't know that he read my book, by the way, just to make that clear, but we're singing from the same song sheet.
Well, and as one who has access and of course, read your books, yeah, I mean, when you look at the memo, or look at the summary of the memo and what you've been saying, it's identical. So where does that leave us here at this point? We've got about 10 minutes left of the program, about 9 minutes left. Infiltration by the deep state. I mean, where does this leave us? And where do we go from here? How do we handle this? And what are we to make of all this?
Well, I'll tell you where we're headed, is world government. Now, how they're going to get there, I don't know, but they're going to create a crisis. They cannot let a good crisis go to waste. They're going to manufacture the crisis, and that's what you see the media doing now. And this is what this man goes on to warn about in this report, that what the media is going to do is say things like, President Trump is illegitimate. President Trump is corrupt. President Trump is dishonest. Now, these are the things you hear coming from the media. They're trying to brainwash the American people that didn't vote for him, and even maybe switch those who did to going against him. But they're certainly trying to get their base, their young college kids, their neo-Marxist young people, to take to the streets and to riot, as we've seen many times in the United States of America. They are agitating to the point of conflict. And that's exactly what Saul Alinsky called for. Agitate to the point of conflict. They want a revolution. And that is now going on with the deep state, as well as the media, and with education. And so Trump knows now, he does know from having read this, according to Breitbart, that they are pushing the narrative. President Trump is illegitimate. President Trump is corrupt. President Trump is dishonest, to lay the stages for impeaching him. If they do impeach him, Michael Savage and others are now coming out saying there will be a civil war in America, that the average person in America that voted for him realizes they have nothing left to lose. They're going to lose it all because this is their last chance. Now, I don't know if that'll happen, but I know they want that to happen. A civil war would be a bad thing in this country because I think the globalists want it. And again, we have a form of government that allows us to take elected officials who agree with the original form of government, do away with those who don't by prosecution or arrest, reestablishing new elections and reestablishing a new form of government. So we would hope that we could do it through the ballot box. But if you throw out a legitimately elected president by hook or crook, the American people might be prone to saying, we tried that, it didn't work, and now they're going to have a civil war. The globalists want that. By the way, I understand from past programs I've done, the United Nations has already been brought in with agreements between the United States and the UN, as well as other countries, to be a policing force should such behavior occur, which would include then disarming the American people. Now, again, I don't think the American people are going to go along with that, no. But just know this. The Federal Emergency Management Association a few years ago trained pastors, quote, pastors in America, to twist Romans 13 out of context and use that to manipulate Americans and Christians into giving up their guns. But then they also said in this report to the president, they're going to talk about Russia hacked the election, there's obstruction of justice, hiding collusion, he's a Putin puppet. So again, this is their narrative to prove that he's a legitimate, corrupt, dishonest, and treasonous. So where we're headed could be some kind of civil unrest. That's what they want. Then you add in the Marxist working with the Muslims, and then you add in Islamic Revolutionary Guard that is probably already here, according to my friend Dr. Peter Pry, former CIA officer. Thousands of Islamic Revolutionary Guard members already here in the U.S. ISIS is here. They're working with MS-13. You're talking about some really bad folks, as the president says, already here in the U.S. to help with this agitation. They could go after infrastructure. They've already, according to the Federal Emergency Management, or the Federal FERC, the Federal Emergency Regulatory Commission, one of their past directors, he says that some kind of special forces group went after a power substation in California. I think it was April 2013. He brought in the Navy SEAL. The Navy SEAL looked at it, the shell casings, no fingerprints, rock piles pre-positioned, so they would stand at night, shoot out the coolant system, and in about 19 minutes brought down that transmission substation, which I understand, according to a book by Ted Koppel, Lights Out, went to servicing part of Silicon Valley.
Jeff
and
Yeager.
Of course, that could have
huge
said,
yeah,
author. Thank you.
Author. We and had him on Friday. Sorry, bro.
Oh, good. Good, 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 good. And that could have been a warning to America for working with Silicon Valley and Israel for creating the Stuxnet virus that went over into Iran and messed up their centrifuges, sped them up, and destroyed that. So if they're already here, and there seems to be indication by the maneuver we just laid out that they are here, you add the Marxists and Muslims working together to create a crisis all at one time. You had the globalists creating an economic crisis, the Marxists and Muslims creating chaos, terrorism, acts of terror, hitting the infrastructure, And you could have a really bad scenario that, again, goes to their hand, which is chaos. So eventually the American people say, whoa, and they stop. They don't want to be involved in the streets. Their power's out, or there's interruption of services, whatever it might be. There's so much crime, they, even the diehard Trumpers, throw up their hands and say, uncle, I just want security. And that's what Franklin said, isn't it? That the people that give up their liberties for a little bit of security are worthy of neither and lose both. So I am watching to see what happens. I don't know what will happen, but I know the players. I think I know what their tactics are. And I even know the FBI has warned about some of these things in memos, and I've read from them. In fact, even in Ferguson, the FBI put out a memo saying, don't be shocked if some of these agitators go after the power substations. So again, you got your Marxists and your Muslims working together in conjunction with the media, with education, with the deep state, and this president has his hands tied in many ways, and he's doing the best he can. But McMaster is deep state, I think. He doesn't even believe in radical Islam, according to Breitbart, and he just fired the man that I think probably gave one of the most concise 6.5 pages I've ever read to a president of what is your existing problem, which is not only his problem, but it's been the problem of America since it arrived here in 1933 in the form of the Frankfurt School, cultural Marxism, and then eventually communitarianism, Fabian socialism, and this is where we find ourselves today.
So again, as you just said, McMaster fires Rich Higgins, who gives Trump the most accurate and best threat assessment he's going to receive, and he is now gone. That is not by any accident. Brandon, I want to thank you so much for the excellent hour of content. You've gone through so much information in this hour, and it's what I find very interesting is the threats that Higgins laid out that you wrote in your book years and years ago. That's always having the foresight to be able to see the trends, what's going to happen, and we see that now coming to fruition. And you saw it years ago. But it's really troubling to see when we have a president like Trump in there and he talks about draining the swamp, him being surrounded literally, by the swamp, and it hasn't gotten any better since his inauguration. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
And you can get the book in our bookstore as an ebook. You can download it right now as an ebook, or an audiobook, or have a hard copy sent to them if they just go to our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com. Thanks for having me on, guys.
As always, I love the hard copy pleasure. Book. And give that website out one more time here.
Worldviewweekend.com. Just worldviewweekend.com. It's spelled together as one word and with two W's in a row. Worldviewweekend.com.
Got it. All right. And let's all become educated. That book, the trilogy actually provides a great, a compilation of information, what you heard today, expanded. So thank you, Brandon House.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we are in some deep, deep water here. And all of what he said, the Higgins memo. Here's what I said this morning, and I'm going to end the program with this. Attacks on President Trump are not just about destroying him, but also about destroying the vision of America that led to his election. That's in the Higgins memo. That's what I've been saying. It's not just taking out Donald Trump, but the presidency and the people who backed them. And I started the program out today. I've talked about this before, by saying exactly that. Joe?
Don't forget to tune in to the Doug Hagman Show, 9 to 10 a.m., as well as the Hagman Daily Show, 2 to 3 p.m., both heard on Global Star Radio Channel 3 on Blog Talk Radio, as well as archived. And you can find all those on the Hagman Report also. It's been a great show. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.